I don't spend my days getting to know you just because I need more people to know. I want to know you because I want to be connected to you, and when things happen to you, they happen to me. We've been learning about R1 and R2. Jan Blackwell came in this morning and said, well, you've been talking about R1 and R2. When are you going to talk about C3PO? We're not going to talk about C3PO today. We're going to talk about R1 and R2 for the rest of this year, so don't bring up C3PO anymore. We are going to be talking about our relationships with God and our relationships with others. That is what the church is about. Until we get into the idea that church is not about showing up here on Sunday morning and singing a few songs and partaking of communion, that's part of what church is about, but it is about your relationship with God and your relationship with others. If you do not have a relationship with God, your life will be a failure. If you don't have a relationship with others, your life will be a failure. I'll never forget this gentleman asking me to do his father's funeral. He was a member of the church. He asked me, he said, my dad doesn't attend church anywhere, but I need somebody to do his funeral. Will you do it? And I'm like, sure, I'll be glad to do it. This guy brought over stuff about his dad. He had scrapbook after scrapbook of the things that his dad had accomplished in this life. He was a banker. He had started three different banks. He was a prominent member of society down in South Tampa. And when we got to the funeral, it was him and his children and me and Nancy. Those were the only people that showed up for his funeral. At the end of your days, it doesn't matter what you have accomplished if you don't have a relationship with God and if you don't have a relationship with others. Your life is a failure. And I don't want to see that out of anybody in here. I want to see you succeed in this life. And God says the way you succeed in this life is that, number one, you have a relationship with Him, and number two, you have the right relationship with others. If you look at the passage that was read to you just a few moments ago, I think this is a significant passage. It says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, His intent was that now, and then underline these next three words, through the church, that's us, that is the body of Christ that is meeting here today. He is saying now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have a job to do here at this church. We are to make known the manifold wisdom of God. And the way that we do that is how we treat each other and how we're connected with each other and how we're connected with God. If we're not connected with God when we come in here on Sunday morning, if we have no connection with God when we come in here on Sunday morning, we might as well be at home watching the news. And if we don't have any connection with each other, we're really not a church. So this morning, I want to talk to you about that connection. There is a spiritual connection that takes place here every Sunday morning and every day of your life, if you know what it means and if you know how to do it. And for some of you, you're thinking, spiritual connection, Neil, what are you talking about here? It's a very difficult subject. I was in the hallway talking to John Wharton today about the Holy Spirit and Him living in us and acting in us. And man alive, that is, sounds like just a great class. I read over his notes every week and just love reading his notes. Wish I could hear what he had to say. But one of the things that I'm here to tell you today is you've got to have that connection with God and with others in order for us to be the church that God wants us to be. Amen? And so Jesus used three metaphors for the church and you. And when He used these metaphors, what He was trying to teach us, what He was trying to teach the world at that time, is that that connection that you have with each other, that connection you have with God, is very important. And for those of you who don't really understand it, He used this metaphor, these metaphors, in order for you to understand where he was going with this spiritual connection. The very first one, he says, it's like being built into a building. It's like being built into a building. Now, I've done some construction. I love building. I love watching things being built. There was a time I did a lot of that stuff. Now, I just like to watch. But one of the things that I know is when you put a structure together, they support each other. If you have a bad foundation, the support will go out. And if you don't line up things right on the roof will fall in. And there have been times where things have happened, bad things have happened in buildings because the building was not built correctly, and the things in the building didn't support each other, so it fell apart. And Jesus said here, or Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, consequently you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Underline those words, God, members of God's household. You are a member of God's household. You are not just a member of a church. This is not just a country club where you come on Sunday mornings, give a little bit of money, and feel good about yourself. You are members of God's household. He says, citizens of God's people, members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Your foundation is what's gone on before you. You do not stand here on your own. You stand on the shoulders of other people, the apostles and prophets that have gone before us. And then he says, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, for those of you younger, you probably don't know what a cornerstone is. A cornerstone was the block that they used to square off the rest of the building with. In other words, if your cornerstone was not correct, the rest of the building would not be correct. Now, those of you who know a little bit about construction today, I love people who don't know a lot about construction. And when you look at a wall today and you think it should be straight, there is not a straight wall to be found anywhere today. As a matter of fact, I will tell you this, in construction today, if you find a straight wall, it was because somebody did not know what they were doing. But in those days when they were building things, they had to have that chief cornerstone because everything went off of that cornerstone. They had to have a good foundation, and they had to have that cornerstone just perfectly square so that they could go off of that and build the rest of the building. Now, today when you're building things, and I want you to think about yourself being built. You know, sometimes when you're building a building, you have to cut a little lumber off. And sometimes when it comes to being built into this building, we have to make some changes in our life. Maybe we have to cut off some things in our life that we need to get rid of because they don't fit together with the church. They don't hold each other up. Maybe it's your anger that you got to get rid of sometimes. Maybe it's your jealousy, your envy. Maybe it's your critical attitude that you've got to get rid of in order to build the body of Christ up. But whatever it is that you need to get rid of, you need to get rid of it in such a way that you can help build others up. It says, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. In other words, if we're going to be connected with God, we've got to build each other up so that God's Spirit can live in us. It is not something we can do by ourselves, but we are being built into this temple, and God is going to use that temple as a place for his Spirit to live. The second thing he says in here is he says, it's like being a part of the body. It's like being part of the body. It says, just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs all to the others. We're not doing life groups because we feel like you need another thing to do. We're not doing life groups because we feel like, well, we got to fill up something. We might as well just do life groups. We are doing life groups because we want you to connect with each other. Look at what it says here. Each member belongs to all the others. We want you in a life group because we want you to get connected with other people and belong to each other. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to talk to a young girl. I met her, the sad thing of it was is she had lost her arm. It was gone right about here. She was the most intelligent, beautiful young lady that I had seen in a long time, and I sat down and I talked to her and asked her about her arm and how she lost her arm, and it was in an accident that she'd lost her arm. And I said, well, you know, you're just so fascinating to talk to. I just love spending time with you, and you're such a beautiful lady. And you know what she said to me? She says, I wish everybody else could see me that way because most people just see me because my arm is gone. And I got to thinking about that while I was writing this sermon, and I got to thinking about the people that are body of Christ that are not members in the sense that they are joined with each other. They may be attending, they may be on the rolls, but they're not connected with everybody else. And that makes the church look like someone who is missing an arm or maybe a leg. And they never see the manifest wisdom of God in the church because the church cannot be fulfilled. So I'm here to tell you today that you need to be a part of the body because you belong to all the others. Look at what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 25 in the Message Bible. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other after all. We are all connected to each other after all. We all belong to each other. I don't spend my days getting to know you just because I need more people to know. I want to know you because I want to be connected to you, and when things happen to you, they happen to me. The greatest thing that showed me and Nancy your love for us is that when Nancy's mother died, the outpouring of love and concern for us was just amazing. But you've got to have that connection. It says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligament as it grows us, God, and it grows us, God nourishes it. Underline those words, and it grows us, God, grows as God nourishes it. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses on today and I'm reading that wrong. It grows as God nourishes it. So, what we need to understand is that we're going to grow as God nourishes us. And we're going to be better people. We're going to be better connected to each other if we will spend time together. Number three, it's like being part of a family. It's like being part of a family. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, in case I am delayed, I want you to know how the people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church of the living God. I want you to underline those words. God's family is the church of the living God. This past weekend, I got to see firsthand how important family is. It was Friday night, and we had had dinner together. It was my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, Nancy and Tyler and his girlfriend and me, and we had dinner together. And after dinner, we got together to discuss the service the next day and what was going on, what needed to be done, and what time we needed to be where, and all those kinds of things. And we pretty quickly already had all that lined out, and everything was taken care of. And one of the things that I noticed is that my brother-in-law didn't want to leave. We were all done. Everything was completed. We'd had dinner together. We'd spent time together. We talked about things, and he kept saying over and over, well, I guess that's it. We probably need to go now. But he continued to sit there and talk with us. And I was watching that, and we were talking about that. Nancy and I were talking about that in the hotel room that night. And we were talking about how difficult this has been on her brother. And one of the things that we said is he just needs family. And this Saturday morning when the funeral was taking place, everybody said to me and Nancy how nice it is for your son, your family, to make it down for the funeral. And I really believe with all of my heart that it made the funeral so much easier on Nancy to have her son and his girlfriend here. Everybody in this room is going to go through a bad time at some point. Everybody in this room has problems. As a matter of fact, just stop for a minute and look at each other and say, hey, that guy's got problems. Some of you more so than others. Some of you are scared to look around because you know you got problems. But everybody in this room is going to have heartache. Everybody in this room is going to have tragedy. Everybody in this room is going to come to a point in their life where they're going to feel lonely and they're going to feel like they're in a bad place. And if you don't have family to pick you up, if you don't have family to love you, you are going to be in a very difficult situation. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I beg you, brothers and sisters, and underline that those two words, brothers and sisters. When I was growing up, the Church of Christ particularly called everybody brother and everybody sister. As a matter of fact, from time to time, I'll run into somebody that still does that, and it throws me off for a minute. They'll say, okay, Brother Neil, and I'm like, who's Brother Neil? But you know what? Maybe we ought to go back to calling each other brothers and sisters. Because you are my brothers and you are my sisters. I look around the room and I have little sisters down here. I have older sisters, and I'm not going to point because that would be terrible, wouldn't it? But I have some older brothers, Jack. I can point at Jack. He doesn't care. But I have older brothers, and we need brothers and sisters in our lives to hold us up. We need brothers and sisters because that's what we are in God's eyes. It says, I beg you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with each other and not be split into groups. He's not talking about life groups here. I beg you that you be completely joined together by having the same kind of thinking and the same purpose. The only way we're going to have the same kind of thinking and the same purpose is for us to spend time together as God's people. And we're putting life groups together not just to give you something to do, like I said, but we want you to be joined together with like-mindedness and similar purposes. And number four, it's like being part of a vine. It's like being part of a vine. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Underline those words. I know for a lot of you, when you read those words, they sound very poetic. You remain in me and I will remain in you. And I've got to tell you, for the longest time as a kid, when I was growing up in the church, I would read this passage and I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And even as an adult, I began to worry that I did not really understand what it meant to be remaining in Christ. But one of the things you've got to understand is that we have a power in the Holy Spirit. We have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and we have a God in heaven that loves us. And with those three things, Jesus is saying, you want that in your life, you have to remain in me. And it's not about just coming here on Sunday morning and hearing these gourmet sermons. Amen? Amen, the gourmet sermon part, right? It's not about hearing a sermon. It's not about being in a class. That's part of it. But it's about a daily walk with Jesus Christ. When you read the words, pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean I have to just keep praying all the time. It means I need to stay connected with Jesus Christ. And when Jesus is saying, remain in me and I will remain in you, the problem is with us, because if we're not remaining in Jesus, he can't remain in us. I love John's teaching the class, and like I said, I really wish I could be in there, but you know what I've learned about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit acting in my life? There is a direct correlation with how much time I spend in God's Word and prayer and how much I feel God's presence in my life. And there are so many of you who are out here today and you would think, oh, I want that experience. I want that Holy Spirit experience where I can just feel God's presence in my life. And I'm here to tell you, you're as close to God as you want to be right now. And you can feel God's presence as much as you want to right now. It is a daily walk with God. And some of you, and I got this quote from a friend of mine, some of you are spending more time watching the news than you are reading your Bible. And if you would flop it around, you would find that you're a lot happier person. I get news feeds, and I sometimes start reading the news, and after about 5 minutes, I have to shut it down. Because there is so much bad news, and there's so many things that me to start thinking about and being concerned about, because I don't worry anymore. I just pray whenever I think I'm about to worry. But the best thing that I can do is when I start watching the news or reading the news, which what I normally do, and it gets to be a little bit too much, is I'll shut it down and I will take a moment and I will look to the God in heaven who controls everything and said, God, it looks like a mess today. I'm going to leave it up to you because I'm busy. And instead, what most of us do is we spend our days looking at the news, being concerned, being moved by what the news media is telling us, and we leave the news media and we go around and we're scared, we're frustrated, we're angry, and we're divided as a country. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I want you to underline those words. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Because the problem with a lot of us is we want to grow as Christians. We want to reach a greater height in our walk with God. We want to be able to pray like Paul prays. We want to be able to sing like Jason sings. We want to be able to do all these things with our life. But the problem is with most of us is we're not connected to the vine. And Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It doesn't mean that you can do some things. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And what we need to realize is if you're struggling here today with some kind of sin you can't get rid of, Jesus says, apart from me, you're not going to get rid of it. If you're struggling with something going on in your life, or you got a worry in your life, and you think, I need to quit worrying, you know, Jesus commands us, don't worry. I need to quit doing that. Jesus says, also, apart from me, you can do nothing. So many times we're trying to control what's going on around us, and so many times we're trying to fix what's going on around us. And what we really need to do is we need to get back with Jesus. I was thinking about praise this morning. I was thinking about what all praise does for us. Jason, I appreciate your song selection today, and congregation, I appreciate your singing. It did me so much good to hear you praise God today and to be able to praise God with you. And one of the things that I've noticed that when I pray, I spend quite a bit of time in my private prayers just praising God. I'll read a passage of Scripture, and it'll be about the attributes of God or something God did, and I'll just spend some time praising God for who He is. And it's something that I started practicing several years ago, and it's what's so amazing about praising God and trying to be with God and being connected in God with prayer is by the time I finish praising God, guess what? All the things I was concerned about, I don't even know what they are anymore. Because God is so great and God is so good and He is so merciful and He is so forgiving and He is so trustworthy and He is so powerful that no matter what problem it is that I'm dealing with in my life, it is nothing compared to God's greatness. And we need to remain in Jesus in order for Him to do things through us. Each Lord's Day we sing an invitation song, and I was trying to decide how to end this lesson, because you can have a great beginning, but if you have a bad ending, it's not good. Right, Logan? Logan did a great job last week. Amen. When it comes to the invitation song, I have to come up with a new invitation every week. Because I grew up in the church, and one of the things that happened when we have an invitation song, one of the things that would happen for me is when my dad got to the invitation, I could change the cadence. I could hear the change in the cadence of my dad's voice, and I would just tune him out. The other thing is we had those song books that you could roll across that wood and you'd hear that sound, and man, I was like, okay, it's almost time for lunch. So I was thinking, how am I going to get this invitation across to you? And as I was thinking about it, I decided to pray about it. And as I was praying about it, God put this on my heart. He said, Neil, you haven't arrived. Why are you so concerned about everybody else? They're all on the same journey, and their journey is different than yours. When you do the invitation, think about your heart. Think about your life. Think about your journey. When you sing that invitation song, what is it that you need to change? I won't tell you what all he said I needed to change, but there was a lot. But this morning, as we sing this invitation song, I don't care how old you are, you haven't arrived. Have you, Jack? And I don't care where you are, until you're like those that have gone before us and you've breathed your last breath, you're still on that journey. And God wants you to have that relationship with Him and that relationship with each other. And if you're here today and you don't have that relationship with God, I beg you, please do something. Make a decision. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to me. Make that decision in your life that you want to have that relationship and figure out how to do it. If you have a bad relationship with somebody in the church or a family member, make today the day that you try to take care of that in some way. As much as is up to you, live at peace with all men. So if you have a relationship in your life that needs to be fixed, make sure it's fixed. But whatever you do, don't leave here today unchanged. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.